Hello and welcome. Thanks for joining us here at Believers Victory Church. Today we have an inspiring, powerful message that will change your life. Let's listen in as Pastor Peggy Heal teaches us from the Word of God.
Well, I got a good message for you guys today. I know we're messing up the schedule a little bit. We have our new Why I Give video. We'll play that a little bit later, but we're continuing. I think there's a perfect message for today for all of us, continuing in our peace on earth. Last week we talked, in order to have peace on earth, you have to have peace with God first. And it's so important how you see God. And I shared with everyone that the way that we see God is greatly impacted and influenced by our parents. And so it's important that all of us, because there's no such thing as a perfect parent, that all of us go to the Word to get who God is to us. Amen? That we don't get who God is based on who someone else is or who someone else has been. But we get who God is to us based on His Word and who He truly is. Amen? And so that's so important, because how you see who God is going to greatly determine the level of peace that you live with on this earth. And we've all seen the bumper sticker and things like that. When you know God, you know peace. But with no God, there's no peace. And so today we're going to, I'm going to have to teach from my phone, believe it or not. We're going to have to go here, and we're going to talk about what to do in the storm. Amen. Peace in the storm. Somebody say amen. Amen. Let me find it. Hold on. I emailed it to myself. Because isn't it always the case that as soon as you need something to print like really, really bad, for some reason it won't print? Am I the only one that has that problem? And so, all right, here we go. Peace in the storm. How many want to have some peace in the storm? Amen. Turn over to Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. Oh, thank you, God. He is our peace. He is our peace in all time and every time. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Mark chapter 4, we're going to look at verse number 35. And we've shared this story many times when we're talking about peace, and Pastor Harry shared it. But let's just start here in verse number 35. It says, on the same day when evening had come, he said to them, let us cross over to the other side. Now when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was. And other little boats were also with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat so that it was already filling. Verse number 38. But he was in the stern, asleep on a pillow. And they awoke him and said to him, teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? Then he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. But, somebody say but. But he said to them, and he's saying this to us, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, who can this be that even the wind and the sea obey him? And so here we are, where everybody deals with storms. Everybody has things in their life. And what Jesus is showing us here is how to deal in the storm, because everybody's going to have them. And the thing about storms is so often we always think that our storm is the biggest storm. You know, when somebody starts talking about their storm or their problems, there's a part of us that just says, oh, but you don't know about mine. You don't know, mine's bigger. You know, it's like a contest in life. Who can have the biggest problems? And you know, and honestly, I want to lose that contest. I want to lose that contest every time. But isn't that just human nature? When somebody starts talking about something they've been through or a heartbreak or something like that, somebody's always like, oh, but wait till you hear my story. Wait till you hear my story. And so, you know, let's just make a commitment. I want to lose that contest. I don't want to have the biggest storm. But all of us have storms, and your storm is always going to seem bigger because it's your storm. So it's always going to seem bigger. And so Jesus is going to teach us here. He's going to show us how not to act in the storm. And he's going to show us how to act in the storm. And so just a few things, wrong responses to a storm. Anybody ever been through a storm? Anybody in a storm? These are wrong. Say wrong.
Wrong.
Look at your neighbor and say, don't do this.
Don't do this.
This is the how not to do it. And one thing is, the way that we can respond in a storm that's wrong is that we just deny it. We live in denial. We're just like, oh, just keep pretending nothing bad is happening. Nothing's wrong. When really, there's a windstorm all around you. And so denial does not solve problems. Do you get that? Denial does not solve problems. Next thing we do, number two thing that we can do that's the wrong way is we medicate it. We medicate ourselves in a storm instead of dealing with a storm. And we medicate in different ways. There are the obvious ways. People medicate through drugs, through a little bit of alcohol. And if a little bit of alcohol doesn't work, what do people do? Drink a little more alcohol. Or there's other ways that we medicate. When we say medicate, it's just you're just checking out so you don't have to deal with what's really going on. And that's not the way to deal with a storm, because that's not what Jesus did. And another way that we can medicate through sleeping. You know, sometimes people just sleep their life away because they don't want to deal with their life. Listen, as all you do is sleep, you have a problem. You have an issue. You got to deal with it. You can't sleep your problems away. Because when you get up, they're going to be there and they're going to be bigger. Because things we don't deal with always get bigger. Always. And so we can medicate it by sleeping too much. We can medicate it, you know, this is more of a, not always, so don't grab a hold of this. Sometimes we can shop. You know, we can shop too much. We can, you know, shopping make me feel better. You know, no, it's not going to make you feel better. It might make you look better, but it's not going to make you feel better. It's actually going to make you worse, because we're probably spending money that we don't really have. And then one way that men have a tendency, and more so now, to medicate problems through denial is through video games. Woo, hallelujah. But that's just the truth. You know, people just check out for hours and hours and hours and hours, check out from life. And you know, it's fine, and there are things, shopping is fine, video games are fine, but when they become a medication to deny a storm, a medication to not deal with the storm in our life, then we have a problem. And that's not how we want to deal with the storm. Another way that we can do that is just running from it. Just run from the storm. You know, say you ever find somebody that just, you know, every couple months they're changing jobs. That's not good. You know, oh, that you see them and they're like, oh, I got a new job. You see them a couple months later, like, oh, I got a new job. You're like, I thought you already had a new job. And they're like, oh, well, this happened, you know. And all, you know, we're just constantly running from things. Our lives are, we're supposed to be like trees planted by the river. A lot of times people do that in church. Something happens in church. I say something you don't like, or somebody doesn't say hi to you, or something happens, and you want to run from that problem instead of dealing with it. You got to deal with it, because let me tell you something. The next church you run to, they're going to say something you don't like, and somebody's not going to say hi to you, and something's going to happen. And you're just going to be running, and not having roots in your life. And that's the enemy's plan. You know, when new people come to church, or, you know, I was saying, oh, are you new to the area? And if they say, oh, no, we're just looking for a church, my first thought, I love you, I'm excited that you're here, but my first thought is, are you running from something, or did God lead you here? That's the truth. The enemy will always make you run from problems instead of deal with problems. And so that's not how we want to do it. Other way that we get the wrong way to deal with problems is you surrender to them. You just say, well, this is my life. This happened to me. This caused this in my life. And I just have to, I'm going to surrender to it, because this is my life. This is how my life is going to be. And when you do that, you deny the power of God and the will of God in your life. Because Jesus didn't die on the cross for you to surrender to the enemy's plan for you. Jesus didn't die on the cross for you to live a life of emptiness, loneliness, and not the life that God has for you. And so when we surrender to things, whether it be sickness, whether it be heartache, whether it be abuse, the effects of abuse, when we surrender to them and just say, well, this is my life, you're responding incorrectly to that storm, because God has a way through that storm for you. Amen? And so another way that we can have a wrong response to it is we say, well, this is a lesson that God is trying to teach me. We esteem it as a lesson from God. You know, I just want to smack people like that. You know, oh, this cancer is God teaching me a lesson. And I'm just like, that is not God teaching you a lesson. You know, I always want to say to people that think that it's God that's putting sickness on them and it's God that's trying to teach them something. I say, well, then why are you trying to get well? If you believe that is God, that migraine is God's will, why are you taking aspirin? If it's God's will, take it all, right? Don't you want God's will? Let me have it all, you know, put it in every cell in my body. I want the whole thing because it's God's will. I mean, that's what people are saying. God doesn't need to use the enemy's tools to teach you anything. Amen? He's got his own tools. And they are good and perfect and esteem and lift you up and encourage you and heal you and make you whole. Amen? And so don't cop out. A lot of times that's just a cop out. When the storm comes, well, this is God. No, it is not God. God doesn't do that. So if we want to respond right in the storm, we got to make sure that we're not responding wrong. And a lot of times, in order to see how to do it right, you got to see how to do it wrong. Because it makes it easier for us to see. And so wrong responses in a storm is to deny it, to medicate it, to run from it, to surrender to it. This is, you need to say to yourself, if you've surrendered to something in your life that is not God's will, you need to say to yourself, you need to go home today and you need to say, I refuse to live this life. God has more for me. God has more for me. Amen? I refuse. And don't esteem it as a lesson from the Lord. And the last thing is, we try to buy our way out sometimes. Listen, money can buy a bed, but it cannot buy a good night's sleep. Money can buy a house, but it cannot buy a home. Money can buy medicine, but it cannot buy the healing power of Jesus Christ. Money can buy a lot of things, but it cannot replace the power of God in your life. It cannot. You know, I know people with money, and I know they would give everything they had if it would solve the problems that they have. But it won't. Only Jesus can do that. And so don't try to buy your way out of something. Let's look at how the disciples did it. Well, before we do that, let's go to you can learn a lesson from a storm. You can. Doesn't mean that it's from God, but there are things that we can learn from there. Turn over to 1 Peter chapter 4, verse number 12. Actually, we're going to read it out of the Amplified. You got it on the screen. We'll read it from there because I don't have an Amplified Bible with me. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse number 12. Here's some things we can learn from this storm that Jesus was in with the disciples. It's a good lesson for you. Storms will come even when you're doing God's will. They'll come even when you're doing God's will. So 1 Peter chapter 4, verse number 12, it says, "Beloved, do not be amazed and bewildered at the fiery ordeal which is taking place to test your quality, as though something strange, unusual, and alien to you and your position were befalling you." The Bible says, listen, don't think something alien is happening because you're going through a storm. Storms happen. And storms come even when you're doing the will of God. When we look over in Mark chapter 4, look back over there. Should have told you to keep your finger there. In Mark chapter 4, Jesus said, let us cross over to the other side. It was the will of Jesus. It was the will of God for them to cross over that body of water. But a storm still came. Storms come even when you're doing the will of God. And so it's so important when someone is going through a storm, don't immediately assume it's because they're in sin. Don't immediately assume it's because they have done something wrong. You don't know, and at that point, it doesn't matter. True. Amen. At that point, they need the power of God to get through it, no matter how they got in it. Amen. And so remember, storms come even when you're doing the will of God. When you look through the life of the Apostle Paul, some people would think that he was constantly in disobedience and in sin because he constantly had storms in his life. He was shipwrecked, he was bit by a scorpion, he was thrown in jail, he was beaten, he was left for dead. I mean, if something was happening, we'd be telling somebody, man, you need to get right with God. Right? But that's Paul. And so, yes, storms can come because we're in the wrong place at the wrong time. They can come because we can get in them because of disobedience, because we're not living the life we're supposed to. Yes, that can open the door for the enemy. But storms come because we live in a fallen world, because there is an enemy who's out to destroy you. And even when you are doing the will of God, like the disciples were on the boat with Jesus, you can be with God and still go through a storm. And so it's so important to grab a hold of that. Number two thing that we need to learn from this lesson is that Jesus will always be with you in the storm. Where was Jesus in the storm? Did he check out and say, I'll get back with you guys when it calms down? No, he was right there. And so even when it doesn't feel like Jesus is with you, when it doesn't look like Jesus is with you, you have to know and trust his word and his promise that he will never leave you and never forsake you. In the midst of storms, don't be saying, where's God? I hate when people do that. Where's God? He's right there.
Yeah.
Amen. You know, yesterday we have four dogs. One of them is just gigantic. He's just huge. He's big, and he's black. He's a big black dog. And Scott's looking around. He goes, where's Riggsy? Where's Riggsy? And we're standing in the kitchen. I don't have a large house. We're standing in the kitchen. It's a galley-style kitchen, like right here. And I'm standing here, and Riggsy's standing right next to me. And Scott's going, where's Riggsy? And I'm like, do you not see the gigantic black dog? He's right here. But, you know, sometimes we can do the same thing with God. We can be going, where's God? Where's God? And you're using all your energy to look for someone who's right there with you. Amen? Instead of saying, where's God? Start saying, I know that you're here. I may not feel you. I may not see you. But I know that you're here because I have your word. You are here in this storm with me. Amen. Amen? And so Jesus is always, always in the storm with you. He can't leave you. God is bound to his word. The strongest tie, the strongest truth in this entire universe is the word of God. And God is bound to his word. He cannot break his word. If God broke his word, which he cannot do, but let's say that he did, the entire universe would fall apart. That's the truth. Because it is his word that holds it together. And so if God left you, he would be violating his own word. Because he himself said, I will never leave you or forsake you. So quit saying, where's God? God is here. Amen. God is with you. God is in the boat with you. Amen. Turn over to Hebrews chapter 6, verse number 19. While you're turning there, Psalms chapter 23, verse number 4. Throw it up here, guys, so I can just read it up here for sake of time. Psalms. Oh, I didn't give you Psalms. What's the 23rd Psalm? Don't we all love this? Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, what's the rest?
I will not be afraid.
For you are with me. God is with us. And then Hebrews chapter 6, verse number 19. This is so good. This has kind of been, I tell you, ever since I read this out of the Message Bible, it's just been just such a source of hope for me and for so many of us, because life is hard. How many have realized that life is hard? And listen, if you're telling people, hey, come get to know Jesus and you'll never have any more problems, that is a lie. Amen. We need to say, hey, come to Jesus, because number one, you don't want to go to hell. And number two, you can have the power and the answers for whatever is coming in your life. Amen. Amen. And so Hebrews chapter 6, verse number 19, it says, this hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which enters the presence behind the veil, where the forerunner has entered for us, even Jesus, having become high priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. What that means is, before Jesus, once a year, most of us in here know this story, but just in case you don't, before Jesus came, there was no forgiveness of sin. There was only covering of sin, and it only lasted for 1 year. It was called the Day of Atonement. And on that day, the high priest would go into the holy, it was a building, would go into the Holy of Holies, to a place that was so holy. And in our culture, it's just almost impossible to even imagine that, because it seems like nothing is holy anymore. But they would go into a place that was so holy that they would tie a rope around the ankle of the high priest, because if he messed up in any way, he'd be struck dead. Kind of like an Indiana Jones movie, but for real. And so they would tie a rope around the high priest, and he would go in once a year, and he would go to the Holy of Holiest places. He would go behind the veil. He was the only one who was allowed back there. And what he would do, he would sprinkle the blood of a sacrificed animal on the mercy seat. He would sprinkle it on there, and that blood sacrifice would cover, say cover.
Cover.
It would cover the sins of the Jews for 1 year until the next time. But the Bible says that we have our forerunner, our hope, the anchor for my soul. The Message Bible says that invisible spiritual lifeline. Amen. We have that hope, that anchor for my soul, that says my forerunner, my Jesus, has gone behind the veil. And you know what he did? He gave his blood so that all sin forever and ever would be forgiven. And it wouldn't be covered. It would be removed from you. No longer to be a part of you. Oh man, that's good. That's good. And you know, when he died on the cross, the Bible says, and when he rose again, the Bible says the veil, which some say was over 12 feet thick, the veil was rent in two. You know what it showed? It showed there was no longer any separation between me and God. I no longer needed a high priest to go behind the veil for me. Now I could go straight to the throne of grace and make my petition known. I could go straight to the Father and say, I need mercy for my life, and receive it.
Amen.
Oh, isn't that good? Oh, when you're in a storm, we need to remember that all my sins are forgiven. They're not covered. They're not put on. You know where the term a scapegoat, you guys heard that term scapegoat? Well, I'll tell you where that came from. Once that blood on that altar was done, they would sprinkle it on a goat. It was a symbol of all the sins of all the people. And they would take it and they would put it on a goat. This goat, he picked the short straw. And they would send it out into the wilderness. And it was a sign that their sins were being carried away on the goat. That's where the term scapegoat came from. Aren't you glad your forgiveness isn't determined by a goat anymore?
Amen.
Amen. But it's been made possible by the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
Oh, thank God. Jesus is always with you. And he's done all that needs to be done for you. Ah, oh, it's good news. And then the next thing we need to learn from the storm about the disciples going through here is, in a storm, you only have two ways to respond. You either are in fear or you're in faith. Isn't that what the disciples? Jesus was in faith. He was asleep on a pillow. But the disciples, the boat was sinking. Think about Jesus. He's asleep on a pillow. It's not just bad weather. The boat is sinking. When a boat takes on water, it is sinking. And so the boat is taking on water. It's sinking. Jesus is asleep. But the disciples are in fear. And so when that storm comes, we've got to really check ourselves and make sure that we're not responding in fear, but we're responding in faith. Because there's only two ways. Because if you're indifferent, you're in denial. If you're checked out, you're medicating it. If you're trying to jump off the boat, you're running from it. Amen. We're either in fear or we're in faith when it comes to how we're going to do in a storm. Here's the thing. Fear sees the problem, but faith sees the answer. Turn back over to Mark chapter 4. Here we go. They said, Jesus is asleep on the pillow, and they say to him, Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? What do they see? The problem. We're dying. But Jesus gets up, and he rebukes the storm, and he says, Peace, be still. What did he do? He saw the answer. Fear speaks of the circumstances, just like the disciples. We're perishing here. We're going down. We're dying. Can you imagine those disciples? Jesus is asleep on a pillow. They were probably all standing around saying, You wake him. No, you get him. No, you get him. No, you get him. You know, one, two, three. You get him, right? We had to think, who's gonna wake him up? Or they probably thought, man, how can you be sleeping? And one translation says, Do you not care? Do you not care? Listen, don't ever think because someone is calm in a storm, it's because they don't care. Don't ever do that. I remember one time, and it really kind of ticked me off at the time, but later I got over it. And something was happening, and just, you know, some events were going on, and it was a bad situation. And I was just kind of like, all right, you know, we're going to deal with this. And there was people around, and they were just falling apart and crying and just, you know, wailing. It was like almost gnashing of teeth, you know what I mean? And then they looked at me, and suddenly all of their emotion, all of their anger, see, it's misplaced. See, a lot of times when we're in a storm, we're going to get mad at everybody around us. That's called deflecting. You can't deal with what's going on, so you're going to create something with somebody else. Did you get a hold of that? And that's what this person was doing. Those are called drama queens. A lot of times people create drama because you can't deal with your own drama. And so the stuff was going on. And so all this person's every emotion, and you know, I understood because we were in a storm. It was a bad situation. And it did seem like we were sinking. And suddenly I saw their eyes connect with mine. I was like, oh, Jesus, they're coming for me, you know? And they just started going off on me. They're like, don't you care? How can you act like this? Do you have a heart of stone? For real, they say that to me. I'm like, you need to check yourself here. Because what you're doing is not helping. What I'm doing is helping. But, you know, we got to realize that in a storm, man, people can get ugly. They can get ugly. They can get vicious. But we got to remember that, number one, just because I'm in it doesn't mean I'm not in the will of God. Number two, Jesus is with me. And number three, you got to have faith. Amen? You got to have faith. We can't go into fear. But see, when we see people speaking the problem, you can just recognize you're in fear right now. And we need to help people move over into faith. Even if that's me, we need to help. Like say, hey man, all right, come on now. We got to skip over into faith. I got to remind myself, Jesus is here. Amen. There's an answer to this problem. There is the power of God that's being released right now into this storm. Amen. And so fear speaks of the circumstances, but faith speaks of the solution. And fear reacts, but faith attacks. Amen. When things are going crazy, it's not the time to start getting mad at everybody. That's the time to start looking at that storm and doing exactly what Jesus did. Peace, be still. He rebuked that plan that the enemy had. It was the will of God for them to go to the other side. But obviously the enemy was trying to stop that plan. And so we can't just let, okay, enemy, if you don't want me going there, I won't. No, we need to get on the attack and say, I am going to the other side. It is the will of God for my life. You know, sometimes we need to look at situations in our life with your children. When your kids are going crazy, don't be saying, oh, well, I don't know what happened to them. No, you need to say, they will fulfill the plan of God for their life. They will serve the Lord. They will have blinders removed from their eyes so they can see the truth of what is happening. We need to attack with the truth. Not just react and be like, well, that's how it is. No, it is how we say it is. Amen? Isn't that what Jesus showed us? What can we learn here? I don't want to act like the disciples. I want to act like Jesus. And he took control of the situation with the power of God. That's what we need to do. And then last thing, turn over to Ephesians chapter 6. There's going to be storms of life. We got to make sure that we're ready for them. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 13, one of the things that we've got to do is we got to make sure that we are dressed. Say dressed.
Dressed.
Dressed for battle. I know we got a lot of football fans here in our church. If we had, you know, the Patriots playing, like, who's another good team? If we had two really, really good teams, my husband likes the Dolphins. Let's say we had the Dan Marino Dolphins. Let's say we had those Dolphins, all right? So we got those Dolphins, and they're playing the Patriots. And, I mean, these guys, I mean, they're playing for the Super Bowl. I mean, these guys are just intense, man. And they want to win the game, right? And they got all their padding on. They got their helmet on. They got their right shoes on. What if we saw somebody walk out there on the field with no shoes, just a pair of gym shorts, and that was it? We'd be like, you are in trouble. That's not how you dress for this game. But you know what? In the spirit, some of you are just wearing gym shorts. You got your soft clothes on. That's what we call them in our house. When you get home, you put on your soft clothes. Those are your comfy clothes. That, you know, you don't let other people see you in those clothes. You just wear those at home. Those are your soft clothes. And so the thing is, when we see that, we're like, that's not how you dress. You're not dressed appropriately. And in the spirit, we need to look and say, man, how am I dressed for these battles, for these storms that life throws? Am I dressed properly? Because Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 13, tells me how to dress. It says, therefore, take up the whole, say whole.
Whole
armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore. Having girded your waist with truth. Last week we talked about the importance of speaking the truth. Don't bend to the culture that we live in that says that telling lies is okay. Don't bend to that. Truth is your power. It's like your superpower. Amen? The truth is your superpower. Don't waste it by speaking lies and trying to deceive people on what is right. Amen? It says, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. You notice something about all those pieces of armor? They're all for protection, except for the sword. That is what you attack with. You attack with the word of God. Amen? Everything else you put on. We put on the breastplate of righteousness. We put on the helmet of salvation. We put on the belt of truth. We put on the shoes. We put that on. But the sword of the word is your attack weapon.
Yes.
And so fear reacts, but faith gets out the sword and says, this is how it's going to be, because this is what the word says. Everybody's got storms. It's called life. And sure, let's just say yours is bigger than everybody's. Amen? But we got to make sure we are dressed for it. We got to make sure that we are ready for this battle. Let's not be the guy walking out to a battle in a pair of shorts and nothing else. Let's not be that guy. Let's be the guy that walks out ready. Let's be the guy that walks out, and when the enemy sees him, says, oh, I don't know if I want to mess with this guy. He's got it all on, and he's got a big sword. That's who I want to be. And that's how we respond in a storm. Don't run from it. Don't be in denial. Don't medicate it. Amen. Don't do that. Don't do those things. Don't surrender to it. For goodness sake, don't surrender to it. Don't just let the ship go down and say, well, this is how my marriage is always going to be. Don't let the ship go down and say, well, this is how my kids are going to be. Don't let the ship go down and say, well, this is how my finances are going to be. This is how my heart is going to be. This is how my mind is going to be. This is how my life is going to be. You're just saying, waving the white flag. I give up. Don't do that. Don't surrender to it. Use the sword of the word. Put on your armor and attack it and go to the other side. Amen? Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, that in the storm that we can know that we know that we know that we know that you are there with us. Oh, we thank you that by your example, you showed us how to act in a storm. You showed us how to respond in the storms of life. And Lord, we declare today that we are not going to be fearful. We are not going to stay in fear. We are not going to stay defeated, but we are going to get up just like you did. You arose and you rebuked that storm. And Lord, we declare today that for those storms in our life, maybe we've surrendered to it. Maybe we've just been running from it. But today we're standing up and saying, all right, that's enough. That's enough. I have authority over the enemy. I have authority over any plan the devil has, and I take it right now in Jesus' name. I speak the word over my life, that I will be the head and not the tail, that I am healed. Every cell and part of my body is operating in the healing power of Jesus. I declare and decree today that my marriage is a marriage that is modeled by the word of God, that my children will rise up and call me blessed, that I am prosperous, and that everything I set my hands to is blessed. There may be a windstorm around me right now, but I declare by the power of God, by my faith in Jesus Christ, that I will go to the other side in Jesus' name. Oh, I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord Jesus, that no storm in hell has the power to stop you. And I thank you for that. Oh, glory to you, Lord Jesus. Glory to you, God. If you're here today with every eye closed and every head bowed just for a minute, maybe you're here today and you don't know Jesus. I'm telling you, you need Jesus. You need him with you in the storms of life. You need his word, his power, his comfort, his strength. You need the forgiveness that only comes from him. You need to know that you're on your way to heaven and not hell. And there's only one way to do that, and it is through the Son, Jesus Christ. If you're here today and you've never accepted him as Lord and Savior, don't let another day go by that you're on your own. Let today be the day that you say, Jesus, come be in my heart, be in my life, so that I will never be alone again. If that's you and nobody looking around, just raise your hand up big and tall and say, Peggy, that's me. I recognize that today I need a Savior. I need a rescue. Oh, thank you, Lord. I believe we're all on our way to heaven. Father, I pray for every person in this room today that is going through the storms of life, that, Lord, you would just remind them what not to do and what to do. The Lord, that we would be led by your example and that we would do what you tell us. We would arise and rebuke and say, shh, to that storm. Peace, be still. We thank you for the power you've given us and the authority we walk in. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Isn't God so good to us? Oh, he's so good to us. We're going to receive our supernatural tithes and offering. Who's ready for that?